Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 9. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is the text. We are drawing to the close of the Epiphany season. It's the last time that we will be rejoicing with the Alleluias until we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord on Easter morning. This coming Ash Wednesday, the focus will change. Our worship will feel different. These past weeks, as we've rejoiced in this season of light, the Epiphany season, we have seen the divine power of God, little glimpses of it. The wedding feast at Cana, turning water into wine. Most people didn't even know a miracle had happened, but it had. We saw Jesus cast out demons, heal Peter's mother-in-law. We witnessed the baptism of our Lord, where the Father also spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Throughout this season in our gospel readings, we have witnessed miraculous, powerful events where Jesus gives little glimpses of his divine majesty, but the fullness of his glory was hidden. Today, as we hear of the happenings on the Mount of Transfiguration, Luke tells us about the one time when Jesus did not so greatly suppress his divine strength. Luke tells us that the appearance of his face changed. His clothes became dazzling white. One of the other gospel writers says, brighter than a flash of lightning. What a sight that must have been to witness a little bit of heaven on earth. I didn't know if you were aware of it, but I heard this morning there's a football game on this afternoon. I think it's televised, but I'm not sure. You know, the Super Bowl, the joke is among pastors, you know, the Old Testament reading for Super Bowl Sunday is from, you know, it's like, it is so ingrained into our culture as to, you know, what this day is all about. You know, it's called the greatest spectacle in sports. It's routinely the most watched television show of the year. But when you think about it, what is typically the most talked about part of the game? The commercials. They get more attention than the actual game. I guarantee you at my house, where I have a few people over, that more people will be tuned in when the commercials are on than when the gameplay is happening. Have you noticed, though, this year that they have not pre-released the commercials like they've done in the past few years, where you could go on the internet and you could vote as far as which one was best? They had all that done days before the game. Not this year. Apparently, the advertisers figured out that it's not about how many people see the commercials before the game. You get as much attention before. They want everyone to experience it together because these companies are paying millions of dollars for seconds of advertising. And they want the commercials to be the topic of conversation tomorrow and in the weeks ahead. They want you focused on and talking about the commercials more than they care if you pay attention to the game. I find it interesting as we look at the final words of Jesus here, or the instructions to the disciples. You know, you on the Mount of Transfiguration, it says they were silent about what happened up on the Mount of Transfiguration. You go to the other gospel accounts and you hear why. Because Jesus told them, don't tell anyone until all things are complete. I find it interesting that Jesus told Peter, James, and John to keep silent, not tell anyone about what they had seen on the mountain. They just joined in the heavenly conversation with Moses and Elijah, and they can't tell anyone. They witness a little bit of heaven on earth. Peter wanted to build tents for everyone and stay. Jesus says, don't tell anyone about this. There's more important things happening. At this point, Jesus is turning his attention towards Jerusalem. He's beginning the final leg of his journey to the cross and grave. Jesus does not want the disciples focusing on the glory of heaven. Heaven's not the goal. The resurrection of the body, that's the ultimate goal. Jesus knows that them pondering about heaven is going to be nothing but a distraction. Should have been in Bible class last Sunday, and as we continue our discussion on John's revelation, I got a little bit diverted last week, began pondering, speculating about what heaven is like. Will we be creative? That was kind of the question I had. Will new music be produced? I just can't imagine an eternity of Johann Sebastian Bach not writing music. I can't imagine, you know, Asaph, if you go back to Old Testament times, not producing new things for the choirs of people to sing. Will we do any writing? Will there be things to discover? How different will things be before the resurrection versus after the resurrection? I honestly have no idea. It's fun to speculate about it, but right now it does not matter. Heaven, you know, that place where the souls of the saints who have gone before us reside with the Lord, waiting the resurrection. Heaven is not the goal. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. So, there's no need speculating about that because it's not even going to last. There's no need speculating about what we're going to do for all eternity after the resurrection because that's not what's important. The goal is the resurrection. Joining Christ in the resurrection of the body. It's all that matters. The fact that when we die, we are going to be raised up in our bodies and live forever before the Lord. You know, when the Super Bowl is over, the winning team is going to be standing on the podium, confetti flying. We've seen the images numerous times. They're going to stand there and rejoice in the victory. No one is going to ask them because they won't care. No one is going to ask them if any of the players are excited to go back and watch all the commercials because they didn't get to see them, you know, because they were playing the game. No, the victory is all that matters. Yes, we have been told about heaven. Ezekiel and Paul give us a few glimpses of it in Scripture. It sounds so wonderful. And we do get excited about it, even though we really don't know what it's going to be like. St. Paul just says there aren't really words to describe it. And like the conversation I started in Bible class last week, desiring to know the details of heaven, the throne room of God, where the saints and angels are there before the Lord, waiting for the resurrection of all flesh. Trying to figure out what that is like, it really is a lot of pointless pondering. Our task is to know what we know. And what we know is that victory is ours. The resurrection of all flesh, it is real, because Jesus is the firstborn of the resurrection. And the grave, he says, cannot hold you either. And nothing else matters. Peter, James, and John, they witnessed amazing things on the Mount of Transfiguration. Heaven and earth joined together in and around the presence of Christ. And even though they couldn't see him, they were able to hear the voice of God himself. "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." This was a great, marvelous event. But having that experience is not the goal. The resurrection, that's the goal. If you want to put it into terms, it's probably not the greatest analogy, but really our Mount of Transfiguration is right here in worship. We cannot see God, but God speaks to us in his word. We have the physical presence of Christ our Lord right here as he comes to us under the form of bread and wine. Heaven and earth joined together right here in and around the presence of Christ. We join in the heavenly conversation as we gather with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, lauding and magnifying God's glorious name. Hearing God's word and receiving his body and blood in the sacrament is as close as we can get to heaven on earth. And we don't know exactly what heaven's going to be like. Of one thing we can be sure, it will certainly not be a boring place. There is a reason that when Peter caught just a glimpse of it, he says, "It is good, Lord, to be here. Let's build 3 tents. Let's stay." St. Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, now this is after he has been caught up in, as he says, to the third heaven, the throne room of God, and he says, "To live is Christ, to die is to gain. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." And we find comfort in knowing that our loved ones who have died in the faith, they are sharing in that glory as we speak. And with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, they are glorifying and praising God's name along with us as we gather around our Lord, as heaven and earth come together here around the body and blood of Christ. Now we will join them in that eternal glory, either when we die, and because of the faith of our baptism, we are given the sure promise that we will enter into that throne room of God and join the multitude, or Christ will return first. Whichever comes first, it doesn't matter, because our goal remains the same: the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. Victory is ours. Here this morning, we are privileged to truly have a little bit of heaven on earth. And we do echo the words of Peter: "It is good, Lord, to be here." Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.